Staying ahead of the competition can be tricky. That's why you need a partner you can trust. Allied Solutions' strategic relationships in the auto dealership market have been designed to enable you to serve the multiple stakeholders within your business and to provide your customers with the best-in-class solutions. For over 40 years, Allied Solutions has helped their clients grow, protect, and evolve their business. With over 20 million monitored auto loans and more than $220 million recovered over the last 5 years, Allied Solutions will help you move the needle. Visit them online at AlliedSolutions.net. That's AlliedSolutions.net.
Hello and welcome to the Auto Remarketing Podcast. We are recording this episode live at AIS, Auto Intel Summit, here in Raleigh. It's our first time being back here in person in 3 years. I'm Joe Overby. I'm your host of the podcast. And joining me today is Scott Case, who is the co-founder and CEO of Recurrent, which is a company that, among other things, measures the EV battery health. Scott, so good to see you again. And congrats on a big day here for Recurrent. You guys were honored today at our conference as one of the emerging eight. You announced a new round of funding and a couple of dealer and an auction partners. So Scott, thank you so much for being here and congrats.
Yeah, thanks. It's a good, it's a big day. And it's also fun to be doing this in person, actual in-person live interview.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
After 2 years, I think we had all of our podcasts recorded, you know, on Zoom. Yeah. You know, we finally have start to be able to have these like live conference shows, and that's always a plus.
But, yeah.
Wanted to start with the funding you announced. One of the investors in that round was Automotive Ventures, of course, which was kind of has played a big part in this conference. But who is involved in that funding, and what are you guys kind of, as you look at next steps, how do you plan to utilize that next round of funding?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, the raise that we announced today was $4.5 million in new funding, and that was, I'll say, heavily oversubscribed, to be generous about it. We had been targeting a lot less than that, but there was just a ton of interest, and it really kind of came from what I feel like is who's who the auto investor industry. I mean, Automotive Ventures, Steve Greenfield, you mentioned, came in. Goodyear Ventures, Hearst Ventures, Map Invesco, which is the venture arm of Paul Antony, who founded Carproof.
Oh, yeah.
Enertech Mobility, which is like a new entrant sort of coming from the clean tech mobility sort of side of things. Circumference Group, which is actually the key person there, is Arthur Orduña, who used to be chief innovation officer for Avis Budget. Like, it's like there's just some really deep roots of folks that have just all kind of seen what we're doing and been like, yeah, that's it. Like, we gotta go, you know? Obviously, at this point, I think everyone who's in the round knows now EVs are not a fad, you know, like, thing one. Thing two, they're just different. They're physically different, and the way that they're getting bought and sold is, like, about to be different. I think it's different already. It's just the industry hasn't quite gotten there yet. So it's just awesome to have that, like, you know, none of our first investors for our seed were anything in auto. Like, we didn't know anybody, mm-hmm. but now it's just so validating to see, have like all these people that really get, you know, the industry deeply, this, you know, step up and validate what we're doing with their money and their time. So just awesome.
And it seems to me, just from an investment side of things, it seems that, you know, we started with new EV companies, you know, the Tesla and Rivians and Faradays of the world, Lucid Motors, and then as those gain steam, it seems like the companies that provide some level of service to electric vehicles, whether, you know, that's LiDAR technology or, you know, in your case, you know, testing the battery health. Have you seen sort of a momentum, and I'm struggling to find the business term for this, but lack of a better word, the ancillary pieces,
I get the question.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you seeing more momentum there?
Well, what's funny is, like, I think that there are sort of some obvious things that came early, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, you got to build cars, right?
Yeah.
You know, another, I think, obvious one is like, well, this car's got to plug in somewhere. So you need a lot of charging networks. And so you saw, early in the EV boom, right? Like, innovation boom, just like absolutely like billions and billions of dollars going into those very capital intensive sort of like game-changing bets, right? In a lot of ways, I feel like Recurrent's a little bit of a boring business. I think you went for ancillary services. I would say picks and shovels businesses. You know, like for us, it's just like, we're just something, it's not too flashy. It's a really important question that needs to be answered, but it's a small piece of the overall pie. And we feel like if we just do that and just be really good at that one thing and not try and like do, you know, huge everything to everyone, that's going to be really needed, and that we'll get a little piece of every single one of these USDD transactions that will happen, and will eventually be all car transactions, you know? And that's basically our we're just going to be the best at that one little thing that I think is going to be really important to everyone.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, I think it was, it was in a presentation earlier today. Somebody said, you know, it's not, you know, the one of the pain points is not, this, it used to be range anxiety, now it's battery anxiety.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that kind of speaks to what you guys are doing is helping consumers, dealers, auctions, whomever, you know, get over that, you know, that fear of a battery not working properly. But so as you get this new round of funding from all these major auto players, where do you see kind of the next steps in terms of, okay, we're going to use this funding to do A, B, and C, or this is next on our roadmap?
Yeah. So, I mean, for us, like our early, all of our seed funding went into just straight like R&D, battery science, data science. Like our team is like me and a whole bunch of chemical engineer PhDs basically, and software engineers that just went really deep in that. So for us, like now this funding kind of does a couple of things for us. One is we're really able to expand beyond core data science and battery science group out to like product development and really accelerate that so that we can get it into more places faster. And then finally, like we get to have a sort of a market facing team besides just me, you know, like kind of like going and bringing it to market and doing partnerships with other folks. So that's really where, you know, it's people mostly, but you know, we're going to be, the focus changes from battery science to product engineering to go to market basically over time.
So you mentioned that, you know, having more people wanting for the express purpose also of, you know, establishing partnerships, and you guys have already started work on that. You know, we'll talk about the dealer side of it first, the Del Grand Dealer Group. What is involved with your partnership with them, and some of the, how would a dealer partnership work with Recurrent?
Del Grand is awesome. I love working with Jeremy Beaver and the team there. So, you know, not obviously they're not the biggest dealer group in the country, but they are one of the highest volume EV sellers. They're like part of San Jose, basically. Mm-hmm. Like they've been selling EVs, new and used, for years and years and years, and they understand how to do it, and they get the problems with it. So, they get the opportunity.
Yeah,
to, you know. But they've been really successful. And so I think that what's really interesting now moving forward is like we're moving from a world where the early adopter EV crowd was like, you know, part EV nerd, part like people in California that just wanted to get a carpool sticker, basically. So they would just lease a car. I don't even care what it is. I'm just basically paying $500 a month to like get to skip the traffic, basically. And so that was like a lot of those early buyers, but now you're getting in a situation where like the cars are better, you know, the batteries are better, and you know, and it's just more mainstream. And so now you're selling to a different, like kind of a more mainstream consumer, basically.
Yeah.
And so they just have different questions. And I think what's interesting is like we've heard this a lot of like everyone, especially the used EV buyer, walks into that sort of like framework with like, well, I've had an iPhone like for a while. And my first one, I had it for 3 years and the battery wore down, you know, and so it meant I couldn't talk all day. And so, and then I got another one, same thing happened. You know, like people have had experiences with lithium ion batteries, and so they know it's a natural process. Then, you know, like there's a very small logical leap for somebody to be like, so I know that car has a huge lithium ion battery in it, so like I'm not buying it new, like I'm going to start to ask some questions about that, you know? And so I think that's like the mainstream buyer is kind of coming not with the like deep EV battery nerdness, and also not with the like, I don't care what's going to happen because I'm just getting it for a carpool sticker. Like they're just asking different questions.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what, as we sort of transition from those early buyers to the mainstream buyers, like why Del Grande and you know, all of our other dealerships are starting to really like, you know, use us to help with that consumer education and sale. In terms of what we're doing, you know, dealerships basically like there's two things. One is like on the retail side, where we have essentially a condition report on the battery that's specific to the car that lets the dealers put on their vehicle detail pages, and it's just like it's a really simple experience to just answer that question for the buyers that are going to ask it, like what's the battery? What's the battery in this thing? So that's like kind of like thing one is on the retail side. The other side of it for dealers, which I think is really interesting, and I will say was not what I originally thought was, going into this business, is that dealers don't know what they're getting either. When they're buying at auction, when they're buying like at trade-in, private party sales, right now we're of course in this like weird place in the industry where, essentially if it has wheels on it, I'll take it, kind of thing, because supply constraints are so short. But like when dealers buy an EV at auction or at, or in any other channel that like turns out to have a battery that's in really bad shape, like now you're sitting on kind of a crappy car. And so, it's not that you don't like, there is a buyer, it could be fine. It could be getting, 20 miles less or 40 miles less range than what you would expect. That's fine. Somebody will still probably buy it if you can fit it, if you can fit the car to the right lifestyle, right? But if you don't know that going in and you have no idea what you should be paying for that car, then like you're likely to have some problems. And so I think even though we're in this world where it's like, if it has wheels, I'll take it, I think like dealers still need that intelligence to know what they're getting so they know when they're going to turn around and how they're going to sell. I mean, it's almost frankly, it's just as important as having like a good variety of like price points and good variety of like makes and models and colors and stuff like that is like, hey, some of these cars are good for city driving, if you just go to the grocery store, and some of them are gonna be good for like long distance driving, and some will be good in cold weather, and some will be good in hot weather. And like you wanna know what you're getting so that you can have a good balance and explain it to your customers. So that's like on the supply side is also where what we help the dealers with too.
Do you see as you were talking about kind of the dealers trying to get a better idea of the used cars that are used electric vehicles that are coming onto their lot via trade-in or what have you.
Yeah.
Do you see battery health becoming a kind of a piece of the automaker certified pre-owned programs as more of those cars come back into the used car market?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would suspect, so every automaker has a battery warranty that's at least 8 years and 100,000 miles, right? And so I would suspect that the certified pre-owned, kind of for EVs, like says, hey, we're going to honor this warranty, right? But the battery warranties, it varies by manufacturer of like when it'll actually kick in, but typically it's between 60 and 70% of original capacity is where the warranty sort of kicks in. Now, that doesn't sound too bad. Like, wow, it only degrades down to 60% and then the warranty covers it. Awesome. What's important to understand is that when you get a battery that's down at 60%, not only does the capacity drop, but your ability to pull current out of the car drops as well, as the battery drops as well. What that means is when you floor it, it doesn't have the get up that it needs to merging onto a freeway, right? And so both those things happen, like capacity drop and current sort of like drop happen sort of like not exactly at the same rate, but they sort of are both sort of affected by an aging battery. So, like, I think that, like, a certified pre-owned thing will be, like, this battery is fine. It's not a warranty replacement, Everything that we're doing at Recurrent is, like, sort of, like, working well above that 60 to 70% mark. So, a car with an original battery can, get at or above its EPA range. A couple years in, it's getting maybe 90% of that. Maybe 3 years later, it's getting sort of 80%. All of those, none of them are going to trigger a CPO warranty situation, but that is a very different utility for a car. You shouldn't pay the same for all three of those cars in the 100%, 90%, 80% case. It's just not worth as much, right? It's still worth a lot and it's fine, but you just want to know what you're getting. So I think it's hard for me to imagine that a CPO program would be like, would nitpick those different levels, they're all fine. You just would experience slightly different. So,
gotcha.
That's what I would guess anyway.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to shift gears a little bit. I know the partner is to be named at this point, but
yeah.
Working with, on the wholesale side, you guys going to be working with an auction group here. What would recurrence work with auctions be? How might that differ from the work you guys do with dealers?
The deal there is what we're doing is we're essentially like every, at this point, it'll be about 70% of the EVs that we cover today that are we'll have on the auction details page, will provide essentially the same recurrent report that a dealer would get and that's visible to all the bidders that are looking at that car to potentially buy it. So it really directly answers from a dealer perspective, it answers the like, what am I getting, you mm-hmm. know, if I bid on this car? So that's like part of the scope essentially. And then we're just like, eventually our hope is that, you know, dealers have that information when they're bidding, and then we'll do essentially a subscription deal, which is how we make money from a dealer perspective, so that they can then turn around over the long term and offer that on the retail side of their business. That's essentially the scope of it. The other neat thing, I think, because, you know, you're on the, for Remarketer, like what that is, you know, I think this deal is the beginning of something here that I think is really important to look at from a fleet owner perspective, that are like when they're defleeting, obviously lots of different channels that those cars take at that point. Yeah. But this is like, you know, one of the big auction companies, you know, saying, hey, this is an important thing for our buyers. So like when this information is provided, you're going to get to sell your car for more. And so there is an implication upstream of the auction to anyone with a fleet or anyone who's sending cars for bid into an auction, that like there's actually something to gain here, basically. Yeah. Like you get this data, you collect it along the way, and then you're ready to essentially sell at a premium when that time comes.
It's important that, you know, the consigners out there, and even the dealer sellers out there, that they know that, you know, when they eventually, they can utilize a recurrent, you know, score on their cars and say, you know, whether they're selling it at an auto auction in lane or, you know, on an online platform or upstream, they know that sharing battery health can be as important as including online pictures or a condition report, that kind of thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting and, you know, we're obviously like people can find us, but, because at the same time that cars are being electrified, they're also getting sort of connected and like streaming data all over mm-hmm. the air. And so there's this, I think there's a bit of a misconception that in order to do what we're doing, you have to like get a device and you got to plug it into the car somewhere and that's how you sort of like read the car, mm-hmm. you know? And that's not the way we work at all. Like these cars are streaming data off all the time. And so that's this basically like, it's sort of like we're plugging a device in virtually, you know, and just taking advantage of the fact that cars are connected. And if you're sort of like, especially as a fleet owner, you're getting data all the time for your own telematics. And so we're just able to take a little piece of that data on an ongoing basis. And then that becomes essentially what we use to do what we do. So, yeah. So that's like why from a fleet owner perspective, you should give us a call, because like, start working with us early so you're ready. You're ready to go at the time of defleeting. So you get to sell your car for a lot.
Gotcha. Well, last question before I let you go here. I know part of your busy day for us today here is when you moderated you did a workshop on 7 lessons learned from 5,000 EVs. So if you can share just maybe one or two that kind of stood out for you as most important lessons that you learned from studying all these electric vehicles.
Yeah, so hilariously, so the session title was 7 lessons from 5,000 cars. We now have 8,000 cars on the platform, so it's like, it kind of got out of date, and then I also really only had 5 lessons. So anyway, how about I just share a couple of them with you?
Sure.
So I think the one that like I always start with is, and maybe I'll just highlight two. One is that odometers are not particularly indicative of battery health. Like mm-hmm. it's just we see 5 or 6 factors that are more important to pay attention to than how many odometer miles are on the car. Calendar age is a good one. That's not the same as model year, because there's like batteries get replaced, and because, you know, and because within a model year you can have a car that was built, or really a battery that was created like almost 12 months apart, still being the same model year. So it's not just the model year. You get things like, how was it charged, you know, in terms of like, you know, what levels of charge was it kept at, what temperatures was it exposed to over time, like all these other factors that are as important or even more important than the odometer And it just, it depends like from a model to model specific basis, like which are the most important, you know, based on how the car was made.
Yeah.
And how the battery was made as well. So that's like one thing that I would say that like the just using the odometer as a rule of thumb, like is not going to get you the certainty that you need. And the second thing is I would say like the other sort of reaction I think I hear a lot of times from a dealer is like, not a lot of times, but occasionally early on it was like, well, why don't I just plug it in, charge it up and see what it says on the dash?
Yeah.
Right. Like that seems like a good idea. Right. And there's all kinds of more interesting rules of thumb, like that heuristics that I think people have been using in the early days of this, where again, it's just the Wild West. So that doesn't work. That plug it in, charge it up and see what it says, because the dashboards like lie about range all the time. And they do that for good reasons. Like, you know, they're trying to predict what's going to happen, and no computer system can predict the future. Like, where are you going to drive? Is it going to be uphill? Is it going to be downhill? How fast is it going to be? Like, there's all kinds of things that you can't possibly know from the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other things that are just like, I think like some manufacturers are just, I think, more sophisticated than others about understanding how their vehicle, exactly what their range is in different conditions. And so for us, that like that, what the dashboard says is a clue, one of like a lot of different clues that we use to sort of essentially figure out like what's really going on here. And is this like good, bad, about average, somewhere in between? So I guess those would be the two things like that I would sort of highlight from the talk.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for all your time today, for just all the information you've shared both in your session and with me here. And congrats on all the big news. And again, thank you for being here. And we'll talk again sometime soon.
Sounds good.
All right.
See ya.
Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Auto Remarketing Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Overby. Thanks for listening.
Staying ahead of the competition can be tricky. That's why you need a partner you can trust. Allied Solutions' strategic relationships in the auto dealership market have been designed to enable you to serve the multiple stakeholders within your business and to provide your customers with the best in-class solutions. For over 40 years, Allied Solutions has helped their clients grow, protect, and evolve their business. With over 20 million monitored auto loans and more than $220 million recovered over the last 5 years, Allied Solutions will help you move the needle. Visit them online at AlliedSolutions.net. That's AlliedSolutions.net.